Well, this is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast. I have a special guest today. We're going to talk basketball. I have Tweety Carter, Baylor basketball legend. And Tweety, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. I really appreciate it, man.
You bet. All right, this is take two, so hopefully we can get this one right. We did a dry run a few minutes ago, and fortunately we didn't get too far into the podcast before we realized the audio wasn't recording correctly. But let's talk about the team. We've got a different team this year. There's a lot of newcomers. I mean, we do have some familiar faces. Let's start just by talking about the starting five, who we think is going to be the starting five. And that would be Mekhi Mason and King McClure, Mark Vidal, Mario Kegler, and Tristan Clark. You know, those are probably going to be the five guys that you see in the starting five most of the year this year. So let's start off by talking about Mekhi and King, and before we do that, we need to mention Jake. Just terrible news that one of our leaders, Jake Lindsay, is not going to be able to play this year. I know he's offering a lot of encouragement, from the sidelines, and he's going to be doing some coaching. But that was a pretty big blow. But I think we do have, fortunately we got Jared Butler, who's going to fill in and be a bright piece for the future. We've got a couple of really good transfers that are sitting out, and they're going to be, really helpful on the scout team and just helping prepare our guys. But let's start with Mekhi Mason and King McClure. What have you seen from them?
Oh, like you said, we can't forget about Jake Lindsay. I just want to give a quick shout out to him and just, keep telling him to keep his head up, because he's a hard worker and he really do care for this team and want to help him. Just wanted to let everybody know that he's all in with the team, baby. We'll start with King. Man, I can say a lot about him, man. He's a hardworking kid, always smiling, good to be around, enjoy life. Always in the gym. Trying to get better, trying to find out how to get better. And always helping his team out. I'm just anxious to see, how he, as a senior, come in and lead this team, young team, it's a big role for him, but I think King can handle it pretty well, along with Mekhi alongside him. So I think that's going to help him out a lot.
Yeah, King's a guy that, his body's obviously Big 12 ready. He's one of the stronger guards in Division I. And Mekhi just has a lot of experience. He's been injured the last 2 years. But one of the things about Mekhi that I think will go underappreciated is how athletic he is. You're talking about a guy that's got a 40-inch vertical, and he can get to his spots on the floor, as every Baylor fan should know after watching the Yale-Baylor game a couple years ago, where he carved us up for 31 points. But, I think I'm excited to see those two because, even though they're, not returning starters with 15 points a game each, but they're certainly experienced, well-rounded Big 12 players, and I think they're going to be a terrific backcourt.
I agree. I think Mekhi is a great person. Me talking to him, we always trying to get better. Always, working hard, always trying to do extra, and things like that. And like you said, he gave us 30 points. So
right.
we for sure can use his experience, his leadership, his patience, his will to get everybody better, and his will to be able to take a big shot for us when we need it. So we looking forward to him to seeing him play, and like I said, I got a chance to play against him. And I tell you, he's a really good player. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play because, man, to watch him play and all of them play together, it's really fun. It's really fun. And I think Baylor is going to be something special, man. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and one of the things I remember you saying, I ran into you at a practice a few years ago, and I talked to you briefly about the importance of a point guard getting touches for everybody on the team. That the point guard, as I think you even mentioned this, that, when guys touch the ball on offense, they tend to play a lot better defense. They're a lot more engaged. They set better screens. I mean, you know, it just really makes a huge difference when you have an unselfish leader at point guard who understands that guys got to get involved and that that's the point guard's responsibility. Maybe talk about that some and just from your experience, what you've seen in that regard.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing that Makai gives you. You know, he understands the game. He understands when he needs to take shots. He understands when he needs to get guys shots. And being a point guard, you got to make, especially when you got guys that go all out on defense, that rebounds for you, that do anything you need them to do, you know, and when you see them open, to give them the ball, to let them know that we appreciate your hard work. It's trust me, the appreciation come back as a point guard. You know, they'll screen for you. They'll come do anything for you. And I think that's what Makai brings, you know, along with King. You know, I think these guys going to do well together. And, you know, they got a young guy that's going to come in and play well and do well. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play. I have watched him grown over the years, you know, Jared Butler. A really humble kid, hard worker, you know, fearless. try, you know, do anything he want to compete against anybody. So, like I said, I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be okay this year.
Yeah, you know, some guys come to college and they're skinny, they're small, they're a little bit of a deer in the headlights. But that's not Jared Butler, right? He's a guy that was a very good quarterback prospect, just a terrific athlete, and, you know, has a little bit of swag to him.
Yes, sir. He's one of them, them players that you got to beat him up all day. You're going to have to, because he's not going to stop. He's going to keep coming.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about him. And when I see him, you know, when we play one-on-one, you know, even now, like when we play one-on-one and stuff like that, we go at it, and it's just like he don't stop. He want to get better. He don't let it affect, you know, him asking questions. And that's what I love about him the most, is that he always, you know, want to get better and finding out what he could do to get his teammates better and himself.
Well, that's encouraging. I think the future of Baylor's guard situation is pretty bright, because – we'll talk about the JUCO guys in a second, but, you know, we got two guys that are sitting out this year that are really going to help the team in practice.
Yes, sir.
And I saw those guys firsthand. They can play. Davion Mitchell is as good of a defender as I've seen at the college level. I mean, he's a lockdown, quick, physical guard, and he can get to the rim. He's kind of like, he's got a little bit of Frank Mason in him. You know, I think
he is unbelievable quick.
Yeah.
Unbelievably quick.
Yeah.
He is really, really quick. Like, and you know, I guarded him. You know, he's patient, smart. You know, still have to learn some things on this level, yes. But I think he's, when he come back, along with Mace, they're going to be something special along with Jared. You know, I'm just, man, it's just, we are young. We're a young team, and we got so much room to grow.
Right.
It's going to be crazy, you know, and.
Yeah, Macy O'Teague.
Macy
O'Teague's the other guy we need to just mention. I mean, he's a guy that averaged double figures, all-conference player from UNC Asheville.
Yeah.
And long wingspan. I mean, almost a 7-foot wingspan. I mean, he's a guy that can really make shots and defend and. You know, I think Baylor fans are going to be pretty excited about that combo next year.
We have a bunch of hard workers.
Right.
They always in the gym, especially those two, Maceo and Davion Mitchell. They're always in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, always in the gym. Every time I go there, I see them. And along with everybody, and that's what I'm saying. Like that, when I see that as a young team coming off, you know, a rough year. And to see them come back with this type of fire, this type of fight, it says a lot about the program, you know. And that's what makes me proud, that we got a bunch of players that's going to fight for this, for BU. And that's what makes me proud.
Yep. Yeah, I think, Tweety, I mentioned this in the article I did on you, but this would be a good time to bring it up again. I think why you are so beloved by Baylor fans. I mean, you're a great player. That's the number one reason, and you played on a great team. But I think at the end of the day, I think every Baylor fan just appreciates how much you love Baylor. And I love, too, like when I talk to you about other teams, because I've always been this way myself. Like, you know, there's too many, I think, sometimes Baylor fans that want to jump on the bandwagon of a Kansas or a Duke. And I'm like, man, forget that. They're the enemy. Let's bring them down.
We're competing.
And
I'm worried about this team right here.
Right, exactly. And I think y'all Baylor fans love that about you, how loyal you are to Baylor and how much you care about the school. So thank you for that. So
I appreciate that.
You bet. Let's talk about the JUCOs. We got two guys that are going to make a big impact. We've got Darius Allen from a JUCO in Florida. It's a 6'4 guard, can jump out of the gym. He's another long wingspan guy. What have you seen from him this summer?
Oh, man, he has so much potential to continue to get better. And that's what I see in him, along, like I said, with the other guys. But him himself, he, like you said, athletic, could jump, could rebound, could shoot. He
can
really
make threes.
Can shoot the ball.
Yeah, right.
You know, with that athleticism, he can shoot that well. With him learning the system, him, you know, putting the extra time in, it's like he could be on a whole other level, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, man, like, when you look at him, you know, we're not looking at – everybody look at short-term when you look at basketball teams because everybody want to win now. And nothing wrong with winning now, you know?
Right.
I want to win now. I'm pretty sure Curtis Drew want to win now. Baylor players want to win now, you know? But when you got a young group of kids and you see the future – not saying they're not going to win this year. I think they're really going to win this year.
Right.
That's my honest opinion. But when you see the future in those kids, it says a totally different thing to me. Like, it just you just got to appreciate whatever process they go through. You know, like we did. You know,
right.
my 4 years, it wasn't all good, you know, but the way we left was the best feeling ever.
Right.
You know,
right.
We'll never forget that.
Right. Well, yeah, so then there's Devontae Bandu, who's JUCO that came from Kansas. He's a Canadian. He came later this summer, so you probably haven't spent as much time with him. But he's another guy that can jump out of the gym. I think he's got like a 44-inch vertical, just a leaping machine, and he can make shots. What have you seen from Devontae?
And the same, a hard-working kid. Again, I worked out with him a couple times, and you know, just to see him compete, you know, like I said, a lot of these guys still young, still have room to get better, still have room to grow, learn, and from experiencing themselves, you know, we can tell them what they're going to go through, but it's nothing like going through it yourself and figuring it out on your own. So I think, especially as point guards and twos, you have to figure a lot out on your own because you got to be the coach on the floor. You know, you got to help, you know, Coach Drew out sometimes when you on the court, and that's what he wants, guys that he can depend on to help when he need them to between the lines,
right.
You know?
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the front court. We've got Mark Vidal. This is kind of an athletic freak. He's 6'5", 240, and 42-inch vertical, fast. Charlie Melton shared with me some of the speed numbers. And I think he was second fastest on the team in some of those drills next to Davion Mitchell, some of the sprint drills. So he's just an athletic freak. He's a guy that does all the dirty work. He hustles. He gets rebounds. He can score on the post even though he's undersized. He can defend bigger players. He can defend guards. You know, he's a guy that will be underappreciated by – by fans that don't really understand that there's more to basketball than scoring.
Yes, sir.
I mean, what do you?
I agree. I totally agree. That kid, I would take him on my team any day of the week. I don't care. I would take him because
right.
He gives you everything, like you said, that don't get appreciated. Running through a wall,
right.
Diving on the floor, playing in the position that you're not comfortably playing, and figuring it out. You know, for the better of the team, you know, doing things that Coach Drew needs you to do any given time. And that's what Mark gives you at all times. He's a great kid. you know, like I said, again, he always trying to get better. Anytime I come in the gym, he always come say what's up to me and ask questions how I could be better.
Right.
You know, and when I give him advice, he you can see he's trying to learn and do those things because I can see him doing it on the court. And when that happens, man, it's just such a good feeling because a kid with that talent and to get get for people to underestimate him, you know, it's just sad, you know, because he gives you everything he has.
Right.
And a lot of players that maybe the flashy type, and then I'm not talking about the Baylor players when I say this. Maybe other guys that can score this, do that. You know, you want that, but this kid wins games for you. Mm-hmm. This kid's going to give you everything that talented scorer has. He's going to give you the total opposite, and that's what I like about him, you know, because he continues to grind no matter what. You know, and he's also a Louisiana kid. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we've had some good ones. We've had some good ones come through Baylor.
He's tough.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, throughout the fans, I think the fans need to realize what Mark brings to this team and not just scoring.
Right.
You know, he brings leadership, brings strength.
Yep.
And if you don't have strength, you don't have a backbone. So he gives you that strength backbone, you know, and the team, the players respect him a lot. They respect him a lot, and I'm just looking forward to seeing him have a great year this year.
I'm going to go on record and say he's first team all Big 12 defense. I think he's going to be a game changer defensively.
I would agree to that. I think he's going to game change too. I think he's a game changer defensively.
Right.
I can take him going against anybody. That's just my opinion. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, you have some people that's biased towards other players.
Right.
I'm biased towards Mark, you know, because he works hard.
Yeah.
And he deserves more respect than he gets.
Right. Well, and if we can get him to 70% at the free throw line, he's going to really be dangerous because he goes to the line a lot. He goes to the line a lot.
We have to get him to pick it up.
Yeah. Speaking of guys that are strong and, you know, have a grown man's game, Mario Kegler, he's another one. Mario's a guy that can score. I spent a little bit of time around him this summer just watching a few practices. Got to talk to him for 30 minutes one day and, you know, the thing that impressed me was, you know, I think he's got some Terrence Thomas in him as far as his ability to trash talk.
Uh-huh.
but he does it with a smile on his face, and I love his attitude and I love his enthusiasm. You know, but he's a terrific player, and you know, a lot of people comparing him to Torian Prince. Probably not as polished as a shooter right now. But certainly, you know, maybe a better passer and playmaker than Prince was. And, you know, I think he's going to be an impact player for sure. What do you see there?
Oh, man, that kid, man, he's going to be something special. I think, again, he's another young kid.
Right.
Young kid, you know, got room to continue to grow. I think as he keep learning the system, learning his position, he's going to be something special. You know, he can handle the ball. He actually can shoot it better than a lot of people think, you know. He actually can really shoot the ball. He's strong,
right,
can handle it, you know. Need to continue to learn, like I said, learn the position and understand what Coach Drew needs from him and continue to lead. He's a good leader, and like you said, he's competitive. When I played against him, you know, he's just like a kid that – like to talk, but have fun with it.
Right.
That motivates,
right,
you know. He's not talking trash to say you're not good, or you know, he's talking trash to get some fun into what he's doing, you know. And you see that he's having fun, man. And you see he enjoys basketball, and that's what I'm saying. We, along with him and a lot of other young guys, man, we got a bunch of young hungry kids that want to be better.
Yeah, our front court's young. I mean, but like you said, I think it's just his alpha dog personality. He's a guy that really likes to, you know, lead and be vocal out there, which we need.
He's competitive,
yeah. And then, you know, another guy that's got all the tools and, boy, he's come a long way this summer And, you know, I think the big thing with him is just making sure he's assertive is Tristan Clark, another sophomore.
Oh, man. Yes.
Now, he played terrific in the scrimmage against Vandy. I think he ended up with, like, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks. I mean, he was going up against a 5-star center, and, you know, I from what I heard, he got the best of them. You know, he's a guy that's got terrific footwork, huge hands, strong body, works hard in the weight room. And he really has a good feel for the game as well. What have you seen from Tristan?
I think he will be a sleeper as a big man. I don't know what that sleeper means. I don't know what kind of numbers he's going to provide, but I think he's going to have a nice and comfortable year for himself. Like, I really and truly believe that. Just on what you just said, his work ethic, his, you know, he's just a humble kid. And, again, another, what year is Tristan? I think what?
Sophomore. Yeah. Mario, Mark, and Tristan are all sophomores.
With a body like that, strong as he is, can shoot the mid range, can bang. He's a rim protector. He goes for whether the kid makes the shot or not. He's trying to attempt a block shot.
Right.
You know, and that's what I like about it, because that shows you how much he don't give up.
Right.
And it shows you his heart. He's not afraid. He's not worried about, if he dunked this, I could possibly be here. He's trying to block the shot and make a play for his team.
Well, he's a guy they're going to need to rely on this year. So let's just run down the other players before we talk about the games that are upcoming and some other things. Matthew Meyer, I always want to say Mayer, but it's Meyer. Yeah, now that's another guy kind of like Jared Butler that comes in as a freshman but doesn't have the attitude of a freshman. He has the attitude of a killer. I mean, he's...
Special kid to watch, man. He is special. He is a special kid to watch. It's just, man, we're so young, and that's what I'm saying, man. We got so many young kids that's available to do things right now, like Matt, like we just spoke on. You know, I think he's going to be special this year. He just has to continue to learn the positions, and I'm learning him more as we go.
Right.
You know, but he's a great kid. He's a great kid. He's competitive. He's really competitive, and he wants to be better. And he's trying to play.
Well, yeah, and he scored 20 points in that scrimmage against Vanderbilt. He, I think I remember one of the worst finals was Connecticut and Butler. And I think the score ended up being like 53-41 or something like that. It's just an ugly defensive game. And I remember Charles Barkley saying at halftime, the hardest thing about basketball is putting the ball in the hole. And, that's one thing Matthew can do. He can put the ball in the hole, and every team needs that.
And I'm hoping he can continue to keep that up. You know, he definitely can shoot the ball and put it in the hole. You're right about that. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it with my own eyes. So I'm just hoping that he can continue to learn and continue to grow and get better through the good and the bad, you know, times at Baylor.
Well, we can't leave out the big guys. We got two bigs that are probably more defensive minded, you know, more of the dirty work guys, similar to Mark Vidal. You know, you got Freddie Gillespie, who's going to be a junior this year. He sat out last year as a transfer, and man, he's improved a lot. Really, really good defensive player, good rebounder. And then you got Flo Thamba, who's a freshman. And you talk about wingspan. These guys, I think Freddie Gillespie's a 7'6 wingspan guy, and Flo Thamba's a 7'5 wingspan guy. So these are rim protectors, you know, guys that can really help us this year, especially on defense. What's your take on those two guys?
Same way. Hard workers. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Freddie, for sure, is a very, very hard worker. He came a long way. And to be in a position to play, you know, like he's doing, man, I just want to, you know, take my hat off to him and tell him to continue to grind and continue to work, because it's going to pay off for him. And he don't, you know, he come in with the same mind frame, ready to work, doing whatever he can for his team, you know, and that's what you got to appreciate, especially as a big man with all the banging and fighting they got to do. And, you know, that's what makes him special for this team, man. It's to show you can come from, you know, being a walk-on, getting the scholarship. Was he a walk-on?
Yeah, he was a walk-on last year.
Being a walk-on, earning a scholarship, you know, that's a special moment. You know, you can't take that away from that kid, you know, to come in and fight every day and do extra work on top of extra work, you
right.
know, so. Really excited about that. And Flo, as a young kid, you know, Flo right now, he's learning. But, you know, every day I see him fight. You know, like, again, I'm learning him more and more, you know, as I keep coming around. But he always say hello. He always, you know, want to get better as well. So I got nothing but positive things to say about the Baylor squad. You know, I'm just, like I said, I'm a big fan of BU, man. I just want to see them the best for all these kids, and I want to see them go out there and show what they can do.
Yeah, I agree. If you look at the strengths and weaknesses of this team, I think we've hit on, you know, some of the strengths, that it's not going to be the tallest team, especially if we're playing Mark and Mario at the three,
right.
three and the four, and then Tristan's only 6'9" at the center position. But it's
right.
it's a very strong team, and you know it's a team, it's an effort team, a high effort team, and so I know that, you know, a lot of times just how guys show up to practice and giving positive
right.
energy and not sulking and just making sure that they're constantly, you know, every day working to improve. I mean, you can go a long way with a team like that that's got that mindset. And
yes, sir.
Hopefully we see the fruits of that as we head into March.
Look,
you know, Scott Drew's one to schedule very difficult games, and this year is no exception. Let's talk about just a few of the games we got. We have Ole Miss and Florida. We got either Cincinnati or George Mason. And then we've got Wichita State. We've got on the road. That's going to be a tough one. We've got Arizona on the road. We've got a couple of really good mid-major teams, South Dakota and Stephen F. Austin. Stephen F.
Right.
SFA just beat A&M in a scrimmage a couple days ago. Oregon,
wow.
And then we got Oregon at home, and then we got Alabama at home. I know that I think when you guys were playing, we probably were easing into the schedule a little more. We had some good marquee games, but not like this. I mean, this is a
right. –
this is a grown man's schedule. And I mean, as a player, how difficult is that, especially when you have an 18 game Big 12 season plus the Big 12 tournament? I mean, what kind of mindset do you need to have to, you know, to really play at your best through all those difficult games?
And I gotta take my hat off to Coach Drew, Scott Drew. You know, Coach Drew want to win. He want to play the best. He want to compete against the best. And, you know, to put a young team in front of a schedule like this, it says the confidence he have in his team, the trust he have for his team. You know, will they go through ups and downs? Yes. Question. You know, but I think going through this at a non-conference schedule, going into a Big 12, it's the best thing possible. Because if we don't, now we're going into one of the best leagues, if not the best league in NCAA. You know, we're going into it blind.
Right.
And now this way, we're not going into it blind. We're going into it with teams that we're going to have to fight, teams we're going to have to come ready to play, or we're going to get beat, you know, and get prepared to go into the Big 12 tough, physical, ready to go fight for against, you know, these top teams in the Big 12.
Right. What game would you get the most up for? Did you have a particular opponent that really charged your batteries?
I'm going to be completely honest. The only team, the teams that charged my battery of course, I'm going to go with the Elite Eight, Duke. That just charged me just because of the situation we were in. I know they're not in the Big 12, but that particular game had my energy level in on a whole nother level.
Right.
And the same thing is when I play a Texas A&M,
right.
Kansas, Oklahoma State, even Texas Tech for me was everything in this region was like that for me because I knew where we was, Baylor, and what we was trying to come from.
Right.
You know, getting beat by winning four conference games my freshman year. You know, getting not laughed at, but laughed at, you know, in
right.
a sense. And, you know, to go through all that and understand what the rivalry means, I'm going to tell you, I had a target on everybody back.
right. Yeah.
You know, and that's what I try to tell these guys, that the rivalry and the love that the fans, everything that the fans been through, what they have seen, you know, even before your time, this is what they mean by the rivalry. We don't like Texas. Not saying we just hate everybody that go to Texas or anything like that. We see them, we're going to shoot at them or burn them.
Right.
But when we step between those lines or we in the gym, it is on.
Right.
It's ready to go. And I think once we understand that, and I think Coach Drew trying to just put a schedule out there for them to understand the level that we got to be at every night, no nights off in a Big 12. So
I agree. It's got to be mentally exhausting. But the good news is, I mean, we've got a staff. We've got some players that have been through this. I mean, hopefully the leadership will carry some of these younger players and get them ready night after night. Tell me about some of the guys that you keep up with. You know, I know I talked to you before we started the podcast. You're waiting on the right opportunity to play overseas this year.
Yes, sir.
And what about some of the guys that you were in college with, like Curtis and Henry Dugott and, you know, Josh Lomers? I guess Josh is not playing. He played for – I don't think he didn't play much after college, right?
Yeah, for a little while. We played together for a little bit in the D-League.
Right.
And after that, he didn't play no more.
Okay. But, and you know, let's start Lace Dunn. What's Lace up to these days?
Dunn is in Turkey right now, actually.
Okay.
He's playing in Turkey, doing really well in Turkey. So, you know, he's in season. They probably three games in season right now, along with everybody else. CJ, I don't know exactly. I think CJ went back to Milan.
Okay.
Henry Dugott is in Hungary.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of the guys playing well, doing well. You know, trying to keep up, you know, basketball, trying to keep playing, trying to do what we love to do.
Right.
You know, until we can't do it no more. So that's the blessing in it, is that it's going to come a point.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to, you know, stop playing. And I guess, you know, everybody want to enjoy it now while we can.
Right. Hey, by the way, have you seen this ESPN For the Love of the Game special, this 30 for 30 series they're doing?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you need to check that out. It started, I think, in maybe September or early October. But it's a series on, you know, for the love of the game. It's all about, you know, basketball, the history of the game, lots of the influential players in the 70s, 80s, 90s. It's really good. I just thought I'd mention that.
Okay. Check that out.
Yeah, you would love it. So let's see, Epi. We know Epi and Royce are with the Jazz, and
yep.
We saw Torian Prince put 24-26 on the Mavericks last night. He's playing really well. And then Quincy, I guess Quincy AC's waiting on an opportunity this year. Okay. Who else?
I don't know if he got one already or he's still waiting, but
okay.
You know, he's been something special, man. The work he's put in to get where he's at. It was an honor to play with all those guys you just mentioned, man. Just, you know, to see those guys fighting, to see where they're at now is just, you know, a credit to what, you know, Coach Drew alone helped, you know, build, you know. So some of those guys was there when Coach Drew, first year, Henry and CJ, you know. first couple years into it, you know. So it's man, to see those guys keep continue to play is a blessing.
Yeah, Quincy Acey, he made 102 threes last year. I mean, who would have ever thought that?
Right. Dunker went from dunking to shooting threes.
Yeah, he's really changed his game, which has made him a lot more versatile. And then Corey is a Corey Jefferson. Didn't he get picked up by a team?
Corey got picked up by Philadelphia.
Okay. Yes. Right. That's right.
Philadelphia.
Yep. And then Pierre's overseas.
He's in China. He just had 69 points.
Oh wow, man.
He is in China.
Okay. And Isaiah is still in China, correct? Isaiah Austin?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if he's still in China, but I know he was in China.
Right. And then Kenny Cherry is...
He's in France, Bolizac. He's actually with a club I played for 2-3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, that's
so
great.
So it's good to see him there.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, hey, Tweety, thank you so much for taking
this
45 minutes to do this. You've been listening. You've been listening to the. I think the podcast has actually only been 36 minutes, but we've been on the phone for 45 minutes because of the.
Okay.
Because
and
of
how do they do the podcast? How does this go down? Do they write it down or?
Oh well, I'm gonna send the video. I mean, the audio to Colt, and then Colt's gonna edit it and, you know, put it out on the website. It's going to go on iTunes and it's going to be distributed all across the Sikkim 365 message board. So, hey, if homecoming, next Saturday, if you're in town, stop by the tailgate and we'll,
If I'm here, I'm for sure. I'm going to come by.
Okay.
Sure.
Awesome. Hey, thanks Tweety, man. Appreciate
no
the
problem.
Time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You have a good day. See you.
You too.